does Scripture say? Listen, Abraham believed God, and it was what? Credited to him as righteousness.
This is Straight Talk.
Good evening, friends. Thanks for tuning in to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick, and I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe from New Life Community Church, and we're in a series titled City of God through the book of Romans. We're in chapter 4 tonight, and Pastor Mark, this has been a phenomenal series across all of New Life. We've seen over 300 people come to Christ, be baptized during this series, and tonight's message, tell us a little bit about where you're coming from on this.
Yeah, this is a powerful passage. Romans chapter 4 talks about how indebted we are and how there's only one way to pay that debt. What I've discovered, Joshua, is a lot of people are trying to pay off a $1 trillion debt, so to speak, with about $5 payments a month. And that's what it is, trying to gain our way to heaven through good works and morality. We are trying to pay off something that we could never pay on our own. And the only way that we can pay it is not through trying to be good people acceptable before God, but the only way is to accept the gift of this $1 trillion deposit into our account that only comes through faith. Mm. And that's what the Apostle Paul explains in this passage today.
And we're going to be looking at the father of faith himself. Is that right?
Yeah, Abraham, how Abraham believed God and it was credited to him. I love that phrase, credited to him as righteousness.
Well, friends, wherever you find yourself this evening, we're praying that you would experience the release of the burden of the spiritual weight on you as you hear the words of God and respond in faith. May God bless the reading of his word.
Romans chapter 4. If you take your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 4. What Paul is telling this people that live in this big city of Rome is that no matter where they come from, whether they're rich or whether they're poor, whether they're slaves or whether they're owners, whether they're Jews or whether they're Gentiles, that the good news of the gospel has power to change anyone's life. But before we understand the good news, we have to understand the bad news. You'll never be desperate to receive the good news unless you understand clearly how bad the bad news really is. How about it? If you were to go to the doctor and the doctor say, hey, you need an operation, and you say, well, I don't think I need an operation, and I would rather not have an operation, but the doctor says, if you don't have an operation, you're going to die. Then you'll say, okay, when can I set the appointment? How soon can I set the appointment? Because if you put it that way, that there's bad news that I'm going to die, then I really need this operation. Many people aren't desperate for God. Churches around this country are not full. Buildings are halfway empty. Bibles are left unread. Prayer times are not packed out. Because most people haven't understood how bad it really is. If we had our eyes open to the spiritual realm and understood how bad it really is, every church in this country would be packed out and there would be overflow room only. Every prayer meeting would be busting at the seam. Every Bible would be thoroughly thumbed through. The altars would be full of people coming to Christ, because if we really understood how bad the bad news is, we would be lining up to receive and grasp and hold on to the good news. People, when they were on the Titanic, that infamous ship that sank, there were some people when they hit that infamous iceberg, they thought, well, this ship can never sink. This ship is unsinkable. I mean, after all, this is the Titanic. It had been billed as one of the most sophisticated ships that had ever been made. It had been presented as almost a city on the water that would be almost impossible to sink. The passengers had full confidence as they sat in the chandelier dining rooms and enjoyed their cups of champagne, and as they slept in their luxurious rooms, they thought, no, well, there's trouble, but it can't be that bad. We're going to be okay. Because this ship can never sink. And even as they warn people, hey, there's some problems, many people, many passengers didn't listen to the warnings because they thought, no, 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 it's not that bad. The news is not that bad. If they only had known how bad the news was, they would have more quickly gone to the decks. They would have jumped in the lifeboats that were offered them more rapidly, more urgently, because they would realize the bad news was really bad. We have a sea of humanity on a Titanic ship. Most people are in their dining rooms and laughing and having fun, and they think that life is okay and things are going pretty well. But if you were to look at the spiritual realm, you would see that something akin to the Titanic is happening, that this big ship isn't as secure as you thought it was, that our condition is worse than what we realized it was, that unless we reach out to the life-saving boat of the message of Jesus, then there is disaster, catastrophe waiting us. We would run for the solution. We would scurry. We would bring all our family. We would gather our relatives and we would say, you need the lifeboat. If we really understood how bad the bad news is. Paul in Romans is trying to help the Romans understand that although they lived in a city called Rome, the imperial city that dominated the world, although they lived in the most sophisticated place on earth at that time, Paul is trying to let them know your condition is not that good. Just because you're Roman, a citizen of Rome, doesn't mean that you're doing well. Because spiritually, you need extreme help, and spiritually, your condition is very bad. And in Romans chapter 4, the Apostle Paul uses the imagery of debt and how all of us have a huge debt that we can't pay, and how we need to have someone pay that for us. So he talks to them really about this whole thing of spiritual debt and credit. Now, many of you, well, all of us, right? You go down to the local bank, and when you need a little bit of money, you go to that ATM machine. And you go to that ATM machine, and I have a little machine here on stage. It's really not an ATM machine. If you're a thief in here, don't try to break in and rob anything because it doesn't dispense cash. It's really more a giving machine. But I'm pretending here a little bit, okay? So if you were to go to that ATM machine and you were to say, you were to swipe your card in the ATM machine and it says, here's the account, and you were to look at that account and you were to realize that in your account it's almost on zero. And if you're married like me and have two people have access to the account, I have a smartphone, and one of my best apps on that smartphone is that anything that's charged $75 or more, it gives me a little message. It shows me where it was charged, what was bought, and how much. I love that app. My phone will go ding. I'll look at it and it says $101 was charged. And I'll call my wife up and I say, honey, did you just spend $101? at a clothing store? How do you know that? Well, you know, I'm tracking you, honey. Now, she recently informed me that she's learned how to work around it. It only tracks anything over $75. So she said, I figured it out. I charge under $75. A couple of items, I go get one item for $70. Then I'll go find another item for $70. And I fly under the radar, honey. So. But you may go to an account and you may discover that at your account, as you go to pull out money, if you were to go to an ATM machine and go to pull out money and it'll say zero is in your account. And if you were to check a little bit and it would say, in fact, not only is zero in your account, but it is minus $300. And you would say, oh no, I've overdrawn in my account. There is nothing there. In fact, not only is there nothing there that I can draw out, but I have a negative of $300 in my account. And on top of that, the bank's going to charge you another $25 for being overdrawn. And so now it's $325 negative in your account. And you say to yourself, well, I need money and my account is negative. I'm not really sure what's going to do. What you need is you need credit. You need someone to credit your account so that you have enough to draw on, because you're minus in that account. The Apostle Paul, they didn't have ATM machines in the day of the Apostle Paul, but they understood the idea of credit and accounts. Now I want you to see what the Apostle Paul says about this. If you're taking notes, I want you to jot this down, because this is about faith that wipes our sin debt and gives us the credit of righteousness. The first point that I want you to write down is this: our spiritual account is credited through faith, not through good works.
You are listening to Pastor Mark Jobe on Straight Talk Radio, and tonight's message is called Spiritual Debt and Credit. It's from his series on the book of Romans called City of God. Stay tuned and I'll tell you more about how you can get a copy of the message after tonight's program, along with Pastor Mark's ministry information at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We're in the book of Romans, chapter 4. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Spiritual Debt and Credit.
You see, the Apostle Paul begins to talk about Abraham and gives the illustration of Abraham. And in Romans chapter 4, verse 1, he says, what then shall we say that Abraham was considered the father of faith? Our forefather discovered in this matter, if in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. Verse 3, what does Scripture say? Listen, Abraham believed God, and it was what? Credited to him as righteousness. That word, by the way, credited, it's a Greek word, logizomai, and it was used in business accounting, and it literally means, it was used in secular documents in business accounting, and it literally means to put down to one's account. In other words, it means deposited. So listen to what he says. Some of us, all of us, we come before God and you look at your spiritual account and it's negative. Oh, it's not just 300, 400, it's millions and trillions negative in your account. You come before God and God looks at your account and he says, you owe way too much. You say, well, don't worry, God, I'm trying to boost up my account. And God looks at your spiritual account, at your life, and he says, you are trillions of dollars in debt. And you come before God Almighty and you say, well, hold on, God. Hold on, Lord, I'm going to try to go to church more. And I'm going to try to visit my mother-in-law more. I'm going to take her some menudo this week and really, you know, that should count for something, Lord. And I'm going to try to give to charity a little bit more. God, I'm trying to make my way out of this account. I'm trying to work my way out of debt. Give me a little extra time, God. I'm going to try to be better. I'm going to try to do good so that my account can be okay before you. Because, God, don't put me in jail. God, don't bring down judgment upon me. I know my account is negative before you, but I'm going to try to work my way out of this huge debt that I have. And this is what God says. He says, Abraham could not do good works to work his way out of this debt. But what Abraham did is he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. As I really want you to understand this. Verse 4 says, now when a man works, that's good works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. Now I want you to understand what I'm saying here. This is really, really important. When I was in college, I was working my way through school. This was many years ago. I got a job at the Merchandise Mart. The third floor of the Merchandise Mart, there was a company called Baker, Knapp & Tubbs. The Merchandise Mart is such a big building. The Kennedys used to own it. I don't know if they still do. But it has its own zip code. It's so big. And as a young college student, I was trying to pay my way through school. And so I went and I got a job at the Merchandise Mart, Baker, Knapp & Tubbs, and my salary at that time, my hourly wage was $3.35 an hour. I think about it now and say, wow. Imagine hard work one whole hour, and then at the end you get $3.35. At the time, it was minimal wage. It's increased since then. But I remember working those long hours, and I was basically hanging up pictures, moving furniture around, vacuuming. I was just doing, it was a showroom, and so I worked those hours, and then I would get a paycheck at the end, and they would, it was my first real paycheck, and they would deduct taxes, and I was like, wow. I mean, it should be illegal to deduct taxes from this amount of money. And I remember going home with such a small paycheck, and I was like fighting for every single hour I could get, and it would go to my school bill. But I counted those hours up carefully. Now, if I would have gone into my boss who was writing the paycheck, and at the end of working for 2 weeks and working long hours to try to get a decent paycheck, and I would go on into him, and he would just say, hey, Mark, how you doing? Listen, by the way, I want to give you a gift. And he were to give me my paycheck and say that it was a gift. I would have looked at him and said, this is not a gift. This is my paycheck. And you're missing 2 hours, by the way. Because when you work for something, you expect to be paid for it. It's not a gift. It's a debt that you expect that person to pay you for. And you keep very close track of the hours that you've worked. Because you expect, hey, if they miss an hour, hey, that's 1 hour of paycheck that you're not giving me. So it's not this is not a gift given to you. This is a debt that's owed to you. Some of us approach God that way. We believe we're keeping very close track of our good works, and we believe that if we try to improve our life, that God owes us favor. That God owes us some favor if we go to church and read our Bible and try to give to the poor and try not to swear and try to improve our life. We're trying to be good, trying to do things. And we say, God, I've lived good for 2 weeks, and so you owe me some favor. You owe me some forgiveness. You owe me some credit to my account. And when we do that, when we're doing good works to earn God's favor, then the entire debt of our sinfulness becomes ours. And so we become debtors to God because we're trying to pay off a $1 trillion debt making $3.35 an hour. And our debt's not going down much. But there's a difference between that and coming to God and say, God, I can never pay off my debt. I will never, no matter how good I try to be, I will never be able to pay off this huge debt. I need you to credit righteousness to me because I could never, the debt is too big. And God says, I'm offering you a gift. My gift has been given through my son, Jesus Christ, who came to pay the price. And the gift is the gift that credits you righteousness that you haven't earned. You haven't deserved it. You haven't worked enough good hours to deserve that. But God says, I know that you could never pay off the bill on your own, so I'm going to give you the credit of righteousness. Not only am I going to eliminate your debt, but I'm going to put credit into your account. Hello, are you hearing me? This is huge. Not only God is saying, am I going to wipe away your sins? But I'm going to add to your account righteousness. So now when you stand before God, he doesn't just see you at zero. He sees the righteousness of God, a positive balance in your account before him, because God has deposited in your account something that you could never pay on your own. You say, well, Pastor, how is that deposited? Through faith. You see, Abraham, and the whole argument here that the Apostle Paul makes is that Abraham, if he tried to work, he would incur a debt, but he didn't try to work. He believed and trusted God. And so he believed God, and his faith was credited to him as righteousness. Look at verse 10. Secondly, our spiritual account is credited before good deposits even begin to show in our life. What Paul was saying, because the Jewish people respected Abraham and thought he was the father of faith and a very good person. But what Paul was arguing is that even before Abraham did any good works, he believed God. It says, under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was after. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. Listen, so then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised, in order that righteousness may be credited to him. The sign that a Jewish boy was being drafted into the family of God was that when he was a baby, he would be circumcised. And that was counted as an act of righteousness. What Paul was saying is that Abraham believed God. He was circumcised in Genesis chapter 17, but it was in Genesis chapter 15, 14 years earlier, that his faith was counted as righteousness. I want you to hear me well. Oh, I wish I could preach this, and I don't know if I can. When you come to God, you come to God as a huge debtor, with a debt of sin that no one can pay, not even yourself. And when you come to God as a sinner with a huge debt that the wrath of God is upon, someone has to pay your debt. It doesn't just go away. Someone has to pay the debt of your sin. God can't just say, well, you're a nice guy, I'm just going to erase it. No, it doesn't work that way. The wrath of God has to be satisfied. The wrath of God, the goodness of God, the holiness of God demands payment for the debt that's there. You cannot just go to the bank and owe thousands upon thousands of dollars and go to the bank teller and tell the bank teller, hey, you know, I've been through a tough time. I'm really a good person. Would you just wipe that thousands of dollars of debt off my account, please? Pretty please. I mean, we're nice people. Can you just do that? The teller at the bank would say no, because then the books would not add up. I can't just take $20,000 off of your debt, because it would not be justified. Someone has to pay it. That money has to come from somewhere to pay it.
This was the first half of our message called Spiritual Debt and Credit from the City of God series. Join us again tomorrow for the second half of this message. And as I mentioned earlier, if you are looking for a home church, I invite you this summer to check out New Life Community Church. We are one church that meets in 22 locations throughout Chicagoland, and we'd love to have you be our guest. Check out our website for all the location information at newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. If you'd like to hear Pastor Mark in person, you can see him at New Life Midway. The location is 5101 South Keeler, and we meet at 9:30 and 11:30 a.m. If you're on the train, it's the Orange Line, and we are at the Pulaski stop. If you would like a CD copy of tonight's message, they're only $5 plus shipping, and you can contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. Or you can download a free copy when you subscribe to Straight Talk via iTunes. Well, that's it for our Straight Talk team tonight. Thanks again so much for listening. Have a great night, and we look forward to having you again tomorrow. God bless.